You're listening to Irish Sports Talk. Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 469. Randall, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I guess we should ask you how you're doing. You've gotten married since the last time we recorded a podcast.
Yep. Got married, went on a honeymoon to Lake Tahoe. It was beautiful. It's like a tropical tropical water in the middle of the mountains. It's beautiful. And yeah, set a grand time. And now I'm back trying to start a normal life. And it's going good. I'm excited.
And they lived happily ever after.
Yep, exactly.
Well, I do have to say, I don't know if it's because you decided to take off for a while and get married, but Notre Dame received a lot of commitments while you were gone.
That's what I heard. And
so I guess you could take the credit for that.
Okay.
We don't know otherwise.
I will. We'll talk about those commitments, but there's a handful of other news stories that we haven't covered yet either. A couple small ones. Coney, David Adams taking a medical red shirt, Troy Pride Jr., just an update on Nick Watkins, which that happened. We discussed he was going to transfer. We didn't know where he was going to go back when we recorded a few weeks ago. Freddie Canteen, Deion McIntosh, those are some of the names and topics we're going to hit, and Randall's got a few other topics we're going to hit on as well. But let's just start with Tavon Coney. We were a little bit worried that this issue hadn't been settled. Maybe there was a chance that Coney wouldn't be available for the first few games. Maybe he would receive a similar suspension like Steverson did, where he missed the first four games of the season. But he did plead guilty to possession of marijuana, no surprise. He is on probation for about a year. And Brian Kelly did say earlier in the month, let me find this quote exactly, in regards to being on the team, Brian Kelly said, "If he takes care of it in the manner I expect him to, we're not going to wait until August 1 for all this stuff." So not 100% clear that, oh, he's definitely... This is an article from ESPN is what I was reading, and they took this as, yeah, he's not going to miss any playing time. I could still see there being a chance that he might receive a suspension, but I think it's unlikely.
Yeah, I think that's done. I think it's taken care of. I think he would need to do something stupid again in order not to play.
Maybe go steal something from the local mall.
Yeah, which, since you bring that up, I think it was it Deion? One of them tweeted out something about pants, and I was like, seriously, why are you even talking about needing more pants? But anyways, no, I think the Coney situation, I think that's kind of taken care of. He found out what he needs to do, what his sentence is, and so I think we can expect to see him out there against Michigan, which is a huge relief.
Yeah.
Because they need him against Michigan. I don't care if Notre Dame would be favored by 50 points, which they're not. I want every player ready to go and healthy so we can put another beat down on Michigan.
Agreed.
So we still need to wait and see what the final verdict is with Dexter Williams. I mean, he's obviously back. He's back at campus. You know, we had been there at when the players started going home, and it almost seemed like he had gone home earlier than some of the other players, but he's obviously back at campus, and Brian Kelly hasn't really said anything on it. He kind of avoids it, hasn't said anything on that, so we don't know what will happen there. We just have to wait and see.
It's a big deal if Dexter Williams does miss some playing time, miss a few games, but not close to the impact that Tavon Coney has.
Yeah.
All right, 85-man scholarship, we're down to that number now, and everyone can sigh a huge sigh of relief, which this happens pretty much. I mean, it happens every time. But it has been closer the last few years. But David Adams is taking a medical red shirt.
Scholarship.
Yes. And I didn't realize that he was plagued with as many injuries as he was.
Well, we were talking about it on the forums, and Solon actually said, you know, he helped in the past. He's kind of dealt with situations like that. And as far as insurance, the way Notre Dame had it written out, they made sure to add every little detail so that they would for sure get that medical scholarship. But the list is, this is what is listed. Concussions, surgery on left shoulder from complete labral tear, surgery on right shoulder from a torn labrum, rotator cuff, and bicep, bicep tendon, right knee surgery on a cyst, torn UCL in his elbow, sprained MCL, chronic severe shin splints, chronic severe patellar tendonitis in the knees. So he sounds like a very hobble player. But, I mean, he's gotten all that stuff taken care of. It's just a matter of he basically had to decide, you know, is looking at the rest of his life, you know, does he want to risk getting more injuries and dealing with that for the rest of his life, or is he going to pursue other things? And he decided to pursue other things.
And he did leave it, I'm not sure what he meant, but he did leave it a little bit open-ended that maybe in the future he would maybe try to pursue football again if he was 100% completely healthy, but he's not going to do that now. And that would clearly have to be, I don't know, Canadian Football League or
I don't know what he
something other than college football if he would try to pick it up again.
Yeah, but he does receive a scholarship from Notre Dame, so he can go to college, get a great degree, and basically get whatever job he wants to with that Notre Dame degree. So it was kind of expected that something like that would happen. We just didn't know who it would be for sure. But David Adams is the final guy off the list, and they're down to 85. So now anything that happens is will put Notre Dame under the scholarship limit.
And he was one of the highest ranked defensive recruits from the class. And
yeah.
Unfortunately, One Foot Down did feature him in an article about 10 days ago. I believe it was when they were doing their countdown or count up to kickoff. And talked about, I mean, he mentioned his injuries and how, you know, this is a guy that has been through a lot, but this might be the year that he...
To jinx him.
Well, I think this was settled before because he said he was thinking about it coming out of spring camp. And then made the decision just a few days before returning to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Anyway.
As far as some other guys, Deion McIntosh did, he didn't necessarily decide. He is going elsewhere like we had thought he would. And he is going to East Mississippi, which is a JUCO college, and it's actually where Last Chance U, if you've watched that on Netflix, that is about the East Mississippi team. There is a season 3, because there's 2 seasons on Netflix right now. There's another season coming up, but it would be from this past season, so it's not, you won't be able to see Deion McIntosh this upcoming season on there unless they would decide. I'm not sure what the status is for a 4th season.
Yeah,
I don't think they're filming another one. I think 3 might be the last one.
Did you watch any of them?
Yes, I watched all season 1, and I started on season 2 and haven't finished. It's been a while since I watched it.
I watched season 1 and really enjoyed it.
I did too.
I thought it was great.
But then season 2, I just didn't get into it quite as much as I did the first season. But that he is going to East Mississippi. He did not have a way to return to Notre Dame. To me, it wasn't that surprising after you see what kind of trouble he was into and how much it was. I mean, and then Nick Watkins announced he's going to Houston, which he's going to play in his home state of Texas. So he will be playing at Houston this upcoming year.
And then Freddie Canteen, I mean, he's also transferring.
And Freddie Canteen is going to Tulane. So I think that's basically all the guys have figured out where they're going, where they'll be playing this next year. And Freddie Canteen will be eligible to play there right away. But one article, they call him the speedy wide receiver from Notre Dame. So
I remember hearing that
hopefully
when
he
was coming
have,
from Michigan, too.
Hopefully he can have a good year and stay injury-free. it's tough to see a guy move around that much, and just the injuries have plagued him because he had a lot of talent if he could just stayed injury-free.
All right, and then some other news. It is official now, the new redshirt rule and new transfer rule coming up. But with that redshirt rule, it is really exciting. I think it'll add just a new factor to college football. A freshman can play in any four games, and will still retain that redshirt year. So you'd have 4 years after that.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think it's going to be... You'll get guys that wouldn't have played otherwise. You'll get the quarterback. I think of the quarterbacks especially. Phil Dracovic, he'll play this year.
And that's something we'd argued about. So it's kind of disappointing. We won't get... It's not a fair argument anymore.
Yes, because I had said he wouldn't play at all.
Yeah, and I'd said he definitely will play. But now it's almost...
You almost need to get his four games in. But here's the thing. Not with quarterback as much, but with some of the other positions, maybe like defensive line, running back, some different positions like that, you don't necessarily just want to play them the first four games of the year. I mean, you want to play them, see what they can do, but at the same time, you want to make sure that if they can play, that you have them at the end of the year in case of injuries. So, you know, do you, against Ball State, are you going to bring in all, if you're up big, are you going to bring in all the freshmen? Do you want to waste it on a game like that, or do you want to bring it in meaningful game time to see what they can do? I wonder what the coaches actually think about. I'm sure they like the fact that they can get, they don't have to worry about the red shirt as much, but at the same time, it just adds more to their plate to figure out how they're going to use these guys. Maybe they can just hire another, grad assistant, you know, to kind of keep track of the red shirts and when they play and can't play. And so there is some strategy to it. But I think it's great. Because it'll
help keep younger guys. I think we'll have better football players. The younger guys will be more engaged. Guys who either weren't going to play as freshmen or guys who knew they were. Guys who weren't going to play are going to get a chance.
It's just like, you know, the guys that were going to redshirt their first year knew it, and so they were not part of the game plan. I mean, they weren't even engaged. I mean, I remember. I think it was before the Clemson game a couple years ago. I met Josh Brajas at the mall up in Merrillville. You know, the other guys are all down in Clemson getting ready to play, and, you know, he's up in Merrillville. He's like, oh, yeah, they're playing this weekend. He knew he's not going to play this year. But it'll motivate them to be ready at any moment, even if they get sent down to the scout team maybe. You know, depending on injuries, depending on what happens – any of those guys can play. Mm-hmm. And so, like you said, I think the players will improve as players. You won't have especially quarterback, you won't have a redshirt freshman come in and is ready to start, you know, and it'll be his first game time. Mm-hmm. The only bad thing is, I'm sure Phil Dracovic is in, that there'll be more, it'll irritate the fans more if a quarterback or a certain player doesn't play. Like, you'll get a glimpse of what they can do, and then they'll be calling for, you know, say, hey, burn his red shirt because he can play. Put him in the game.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Will it help the backup quarterback? You know, the same way about the backup quarterback, the best quarterback on the team. Will that make it worse?
Oh, I'm sure people will be calling. Yeah.
Yeah.
Calling more for the backups.
So.
And
as far as transfers, they do not have to. They can go to any school. Oh, yeah. Schools cannot block. They can't make a list of schools that they're not allowed to go to. And I guess it goes into some national database where other coaches, once their name is entered in there, other coaches can contact them, and they don't necessarily need permission to do that. I don't see it being that big a deal, but at the same time, I could almost see it cause some issues with players that might be frustrated. All of a sudden, like, hey, I'm going to try and put his name in the – I don't know how that all works.
To see if they had contacted by a school that they would want, like a Clemson or an Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know either. But it doesn't – a lot of people are probably worried about, oh, we don't want a disgruntled defensive player or offensive player to go to a rival that we're going to be playing next season and give them you know, all the calls and give them the inside scoop on the schemes. But that can happen in the NFL all the time, and it's not that big of an issue. In the NFL, they have open camps. The college is more closed down and tight-lipped as far as the schemes are running. I just don't think it's that big of a deal. It doesn't worry me if...
College players are focused enough on learning their own playbook that I don't think they're going to overload them trying to... Well, I guess they can have certain calls. They kind of know what they're doing. But in the NFL, which I guess it was talking about Peyton Manning, but Reggie Wayne said he said less the week that they played Peyton Manning and the Broncos. He said less that week to the other players. He did not want to confuse them, which Peyton Manning obviously was the guy that was going to confuse him. But it just made it worse. It wasn't worth it. So I guess we'll find out. That goes into effect this October. It's kind of weird that's in the middle of the season, but whatever. Something that the freshmen are all enrolled at Notre Dame. They're there doing workouts already, and they all seem to enjoy it. The only complaint I did see or hear of was Braden Lindsay commented on Twitter. His tweet said, "I didn't appreciate quality toilet paper until I started to live in a dorm." So Reggie Brooks replied to him and said, "Spend the money on your own TP. It's worth it." So so I guess as far as that, if that's the biggest complaint they have, we're good to go. But the guys seem to be enjoying it. We did do some interviews that we released last couple weeks. And Braden Lindsay, it was interesting to talk with Braden Lindsay just about his whole, you know, decommitting from Notre Dame. And it's ridiculous that he got death threats and things like that. But he still came back to Notre Dame. And he said it didn't matter what those people thought or wanted. But, yeah, I did tell him, ask if he's going to run a 40 or run a race against Troy Pride just to see which one of them is the fastest. And we would all love to see that. So I guess we'll wait and see if that happens.
Speaking of Troy Pride.
Yeah, he is now last year was the 11th fastest player in college football, and now he is up to fourth. So he's moving up the rankings. So it's nice to have that speed.
Well, and it's nice to see him cracking into the starting lineup, because you can be fast. Remember, wasn't the fastest player after Will Fuller's departure, wide receiver that transferred to Purdue. I'm totally totally spacing on the name.
Corey Holmes.
Yeah, Corey Holmes. And, you know, you can have speed, but you need to also be a football player. And Troy Pride seems to be a football player.
Yeah. What we need to do is try to get Will Fuller to come visit Notre Dame while Troy Pride... You kind of had the past, the present, and the future right now. So get those guys to have a foot race to see who would come out on top. But anyways, like you said, it's more just speed.
I'd still take Will Fuller by by a step.
Well, in a game. So with full pads, Will Fuller would win every time. But anyways, some other things that happened. The players got to play Fortnite on the Jumbotron.
I saw that on Reddit, and I thought that it was a meme. I didn't realize it was real, that it actually happened.
So while you were on your honeymoon, you were checking out social media and like trying to...
I don't remember when I saw it. Was it over the honeymoon when it happened?
I don't even know. I don't remember when it was exactly, but I thought that was kind of cool. And that's something I think recruits, I don't know if there were necessarily, I think there might have been some recruits on campus, but just for those young guys to see some of that stuff, I think is good.
It's fun. It shows that Notre Dame can be a fun, hip place to be, and it's not all mass and, you know, having all your ducks in a row. It can be fun to
learn Mandarin Chinese or whatever. But yeah, and then some of the other fun, some of the recruits that did visit talked about how they went out to, some of them went out to Mike Ellison's place one night with some of the current players. You know, they hung out there. They went to Brian Kelly's lake house, and they were impressed how they, you know, the coaches related with the players, the relationships they have, you know, and even it's almost like a family. And so just all these different things, I think it just Notre Dame's making more of an effort to do some of that. Brian Kelly is, and the staff, and I think recruits are responding to that. It's not what everybody else tries to paint Notre Dame, like a different picture, like you mentioned, but they're proving otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other news, they are working on the new practice facility. They're putting up the steel right now, so if you do go to South Bend, you can see what's happening there. That's happening quickly, so that's good to see. And then one other thing, the Triple Crown. There was a Triple Crown winner this year, and whenever there's a Triple Crown winner or a chance for a Triple Crown winner going into the third race, Notre Dame has done very well that upcoming season. So I have no idea how that's connected with Notre Dame football. But
and you mentioned the last time was 2015.
Yeah, and Notre Dame they were 10-1 going into Clemson, which I think was right after the trip they won the Triple Crown. Like I think the race no it wouldn't duh it's Not the 20. Middle of the summer. Never mind, I was thinking it was close to that. It was that same year.
Okay,
but they had a good season and 2012, going into the last race of the Triple Crown. You know, there was a chance. It's not just the Triple Crown winner, but there was a chance. I mean, you can go back. There's different articles about it. If you're superstitious or anything like that, this should be a good year for Notre Dame. So, anyways, some NFL news. Zach Martin is now the highest paid guard in the NFL, highest ever. And so that means that in the last 3 years, two different positions in the NFL have been, or Harrison Smith became the highest paid safety 3 years ago, and now Zach Martin is the highest paid guard at his position. So Notre Dame is setting standards in the NFL as well. So I'm sure they tell recruits about that. But yeah, Zach Martin doing very well. So, and then as far as recruiting, all the commitments. You probably heard of all of these since it's been a little while since we had recorded a podcast. But right after, a couple days after we recorded our last podcast, Jay Bramblett, a punter from Alabama, committed to Notre Dame. And I'd actually done an interview with him. And, the number one, well, it depends which ranking. He looks like to be the number one punter in that class. And when he came up to visit, he got to hang out with Tyler Newsom. And so getting a guy from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, right out of Alabama's backyard, and he grew up an Alabama fan. So this is a good pickup for Notre Dame.
What was his turning point to pick the Irish?
He just liked everything that Notre Dame had to offer. I don't know how interested Alabama actually was. It didn't seem like they were quite as interested in what Notre Dame was. But he liked what Notre Dame had to offer, you know, even after his football career. So, and he also plays quarterback for his high school team. So I'd asked him about being the lonesome kicker, if that's ever, you know, being out in the field. And say, well, he's actually the first one out there because he also plays quarterback for his team. So he does a little bit of everything. So I guess he can always be a backup quarterback if Notre Dame needs one.
Trick plays coming up.
There you go. He's 6'2", 175. And then following that, Jack Kaiser was the next player to commit, outside linebacker from Indiana. He's only a 3-star. Some people kind of question this pickup by Notre Dame. He's not as highly ranked. You know, more of a project. I mean, he's not going to come in and be a starter right away. But Notre Dame has done good with these lower-ranked guys, where, you know, it seems like they might not get some playing time. But he's an in-state guy, so they got the in-state guy. He's 6'2", 215, and he's a 3-star. And then after that, Kevin Bauman is actually a 2020 commit, the second 2020 commit. And he is a tight end from New Jersey, 6'5", 232. And he's still got 2 years of high school.
A big kid.
Yeah. So, yeah, right now he's a second-ranked tight end, 4-star. So this is a highly ranked guy. And he's hoping to continue the tight end U tradition, or kind of get it back to where it was, maybe we should say. It's kind of fallen off the last couple of years. But, well, they still have a tight end going in the getting drafted in the first couple of rounds. So, or no, what was the fourth round this year? But they have they always had their tight ends getting drafted. So
I thought it was maybe the fifth round, but maybe it was earlier. I
already forgot. But yeah, very highly ranked guys. So now Notre Dame has a quarterback and a tight end in the 2020 class. So they're up to two in the 2020 class. And then Osita Ekwonu, I think that's how you say his name, is inside linebacker, 6'2", 220, four-star guy from Charlotte, North Carolina. So this is a big pickup for Notre Dame. I mean, you got a highly ranked linebacker. That's in kind of an area of need, especially, you know, you got David Adams, you know, was a guy that could have played. And this year, the big question mark on the defense is the linebackers or the backups. So he held quite a few offers. He had offers from Alabama, Florida, Ohio State. So he did pick Notre Dame, and that is a big pickup for them. And then you had Zeke Carroll, the top offensive lineman out of Ohio, comes to Notre Dame once again. So that is good to see. He's one of the highest ranked guys in this class, depending who you ask, but he's a 6'4", 270, four-star guy from Cincinnati, Ohio. So I guess Harry Hestand, the recruiting has been doing very well since he left, continues to show that. And then Zeke Carroll, he is planning to enroll early. And he'll probably be a guard, but he can also play a center. So maybe he can compete for that center position when he gets to Notre Dame. And then Kyren Williams is the latest commitment. And Notre Dame finally got a skill position player in this class and a running back. So Kyren Williams, he's listed as a wide receiver as well as running back, even though, I mean, he's a running back. But he's being compared to a Theo Riddick type guy. 5'10", 200 pounds from St. Louis, Missouri. And he's very good at catching the ball. And especially with with the offense using two running backs, this is a guy like him is perfect. I mean, you can have a big bruiser in there, and here you have a guy that can play a slot, can catch the ball,
move around.
He can run the ball, and he's very talented. So he's a 3-star guy, but some people seem to think that he's ranked a little bit lower than a lot of running backs just because he's more of that dual threat. He's not your, you know, bruising running back.
Yeah.
So Notre Dame has done very well on the recruiting trail, picked up a lot of commitments. They do enter a dead period now on the 25th, I believe, and it goes until July 24th. So for a month, you won't have any recruits visiting campus. The staff, they can still give offers to other players, but you won't have guys coming to campus. Gives everybody a little break, I guess.
Is there anyone to watch out for that is going to commit during that dead period?
Well, it looks like the next commitment, not necessarily, I'm not going to say it's a Notre Dame commitment, they're in the mix, but on July 4th, quarterback Brendan Clark is announcing his commitment on July 4th. He had been committed to Wake Forest, and Notre Dame had offered him a little while ago, and he did just visit on June 15th. And Notre Dame is right there in the mix, but they don't know if it was a little too late with him. But I guess we'll find out on July 4th. You're coming in after Jurkovic, and you already have your 2020 quarterback, so he's kind of sandwiched in there. I mean, it'd be nice to pick up another quarterback.
Notre Dame has been getting a quarterback pretty much every class the last while.
Oh, I think they should. There's just always something that happens.
Yeah.
And he's just a 3-star guy, but what I keep thinking about is, remember Ian Book? When Ian Book committed, He was the guy that was never going to play at Notre Dame.
And he never
And now
will.
You have people calling for him to be the starter.
And he never will again.
I mean, I don't...
Except for in a backup situation.
Yeah, I think it's got... Obviously, he's still that guy that will be the backup, and it's very unlikely that he'll actually be the starter. But he's turned out much better than everybody expected.
Not from what you expected. I think you expected him to be a starter.
I knew he could play.
No, but I think you expected him to be a starter for a season or two.
Well, that was before Dracovic came along. But I was high on him, I knew that if he needed to start...
We were definitely at polar opposites from what our expectations were for Ian Book. And you were definitely more right than I.
The staff knows what they're looking for, so just because he's a three-star quarterback, that doesn't mean they're just trying to fit a guy into this class to kind of gap.
Well, I would still see that as strategic because...
Oh, totally.
I would rather have a three-star guy that is a quality backup than a four- or five-star guy that is going to transfer, and then we're short a quarterback, and we don't have a legitimate backup.
But, no, he's not just put in between Phil Dracovic and Drew Pine, the four-star quarterback in 2020. That looks very good. They're not just trying to fit somebody in there to put somebody in this class. They're getting him because they think he can play football. So... but they will find out on July 4th where he is going. Clemson, North Carolina are some of the other teams that he's interested in. So there you have it.
All right. That's all I've got. Thank you guys for listening. Do check back next week for another episode. The website was down for maybe about half. Well, not, it wasn't even half a day. I think it was just for a few hours and got that taken care of and working. So, shouldn't have any issues there. If you do see an issue, please tweet at us, and we'll get that resolved ASAP. And check out the forums, forums.irishsportstalk.net. We're ramping up. We got fall camp coming up here sooner than you think. I mean, it's going to be here. And, of course, there's going to be news breaking throughout the summer. There always is. So until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.